by Nintendo. One up. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503. The music, this seemed like such a good bed when I loaded it. Now, not so much.
What is this?
I don't really know. I'm not even sure this is one of our music beds.
It's the Rick Emerson Show return, Bob.
I don't know why I put this in. This is stupid. All right. Well, you know what I've got that's even better than that, though. I really... I was trying to find the worst possible thing for a hangover, the music, you know, because I figured people who don't have a hangover should feel like they do.
Yeah, that's right.
People who do have a hangover can't feel any worse anyway. I think everybody's at zero. Everybody's bottomed out.
It was 20 years ago
today.
Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play. And they've been going in and out of style. But they're guaranteed to raise a smile.
Yeah.
So may I introduce to you.
Yeah.
The act you've known for all these years. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band. Oh!
Our good friend, The Low, in Las Vegas, emailed specifically about this. He requested that we play this on constantly. By the way, we should talk more about this later on. Don't let me forget this. Yes. Don't let me forget this, Sarah. Lowe is going to see Kevin Federline tonight. He is going to see Kevin Federline at Pure, which is a club in Vegas. So tonight, while you're doing whatever, while we're all laying around, Lowe will be suffering through the sounds of Kevin Federline at a club in Las Vegas.
I think we need to cleanse the palate of this.
He's doing that just for us because he cares. And he's going to call him Monday, give us a whole blow-by-blow account of what Kevin Federlin sounds like. You know, my question now has become to find this entire album. It's Friday. We're recapping from Listener Party 9 last night.
I don't really want to stop the show, but I thought you might like to know that the singer's going to sing a song, and he wants you all to sing along. So let me introduce to you the one and only Billy Shears and Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band.
It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We are recapping, recovering from, and reliving. Sometimes all at once and in the most unpleasant of fashions. Listener Party 9, which happened last night at Sabala's. Our good friend Amanda emails in and she says, Rick, I am one of the unfortunates that is sitting at work in a post-listener party haze. You'll be happy to know the dry heaving has finally stopped. Oh, she says, thanks for trying to get Kristen to make out with me. I tried, but she wasn't going for it. Damn, Amanda.
I think Amanda did pretty well for the rest of the night.
Well, see, we were trying to get Kristen to kiss somebody because we've done all of these parties and Kristen pretending always ends up. I have a whole CD-ROM at home of Kristen kissing girls. I don't know why she was all like reluctant to do it last night. She was all taciturn and whatnot about her, you know. So we brought up on stage with our good friend Amanda and Kristen had her back to me. So all I could hear was the crowd booing their dissatisfaction that it, like, clearly wasn't happening. But I couldn't tell who was the sort of reluctant party. So apparently Amanda was all for it. And Kristen was just, she was just passing on it for some reason.
Yeah, I know. Amanda
was it just
was
like a peck? Is that the deal? Kristen was just pecking?
Yes, it was a peck.
Yes, that's no good. But for it, but those two schoolgirls later, they made up for it.
They did.
They really went all out.
They were doing the tonguing.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's see. How about this? Rick. I did come to work today, where I'm being a perfectly productive employee for the man, while of course I listen to you and email you. My secret? Vodka, my friend. Vodka. It's the miracle drink. Swill all you want at night, no hangover the next day. I cannot extol the virtues of vodka more eloquently than that, Tony in the Couve says. I believe Sarah would like to weigh in with her own opinion on that.
Yeah, maybe they were drinking expensive vodka because I was just drinking well.
P.S. Your blonde sales girl is hot. Take her, but there's like 50 of them.
Oh, Alicia, probably.
Maybe. I'm not going to speculate on that because it would be wrong of me to
She's hungover today, too.
Single out any female employee and extol any sort of virtue that she might have physically. That would be wrong. All I mean is that they're all blonde. So, you know, just throw a dart. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
All right, I guess we're back again, eh? Is this an official news break?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like 20 minutes early. I don't know why I'm going.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter to me.
You know, I do know why. It's because I don't have any idea what I'm doing today.
Oh, don't you worry.
That's really why I just did that.
Well, let's do a Whitney watch. That sounds appropriate, doesn't it?
I like it. Tim is just, this is your moment to take control of the show, to usurp all authority.
All right. On a day like this.
And then we'll go to the phones.
This certainly isn't anything to be proud of today.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your Whitney watch. Best watch ever.
So we have two hypotheses.
Okay.
Of Whitney Houston's rehab. She is in rehab, by the way.
Ooh,
she's officially in rehab now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do they have to like come and like throw that big like a butterfly net over her?
Well, her family, ripe with worry, staged an intervention so hush hush that even her hubby, rapper Bobby Brown, was left in the dark about his wife's whereabouts for several days. At first, she thought that she was just off on another drug binge, so why worry? Apparently, it took days for him to find out from Whitney's family that they had talked her into going into rehab, and a few more days to get an answer about which treatment center it was, adding she was not privy to the center's location. Tina, Whitney's old blow buddy, is responsible for leaking the sordid details of Houston's deranged drug addiction to the Inquirer.
Did you say deranged?
Yeah, I did, yes.
Is that like a winged monkey?
It is.
Or deranged addiction.
I can say just about anything today and get away with it, really, without being questioned. So why not take advantage of it one day?
Okay. I like your style, Tim Riley.
I mean, there aren't people tuning in to offer us a job anywhere. Whitney's spokesgal, Nancy Seltzer, declined to comment when asked whether her troubled client had checked into rehab. Mm. Let's see here. I hope this time it works, Whitney's clean and sober sister-in-law says. I pray to God that she'll get herself clean for good.
Okay.
So, this is the second story. Whitney Houston's decision to check her into rehab this week came as a surprise to some in the music world, but a well-placed source says it wasn't entirely Whitney's decision. Clive Davis, the new head of BMG, made her do it, says the insider. Last month, Davis was named co-chair and CEO of BMG, Arista's parent company and Whitney's label. A lot of people were wondering, why now, since she's been in a mess for a while, says the source. But the truth is, does anybody really care about this anymore? No. It's been going on for a while. I'll keep it kind of gives you guys a break. This gives you guys a break to recoup your thoughts. I can keep going for about 10 minutes.
I'm just trying to hold down the bank.
A buzzer will go off when I'm done. A lot of people are wondering why not. I could repeat this two or three times and you wouldn't even notice, would you? The truth is, Clyde Davis stepped in and said, you're going into rehab. You'll just sit here and you'll listen to this whole thing for two more hours.
You should read that Superman story from yesterday.
He's been making a lot of changes at Arista. And Whitney is one of his pet projects. He wants to fix her up and get her back in working order. He pulled a little tough love and told her basically to get clean or get out. I guess that's...
Are we done?
We are, unless you want me to repeat it a couple more times so you guys are ready to keep going.
There's your witness.
I might have done it three times already.
Last night when you were playing this, all you could hear was the vibrating.
Totally.
I could hear nothing but crowd noise.
We had the best story last night. Last night, if you weren't at the party, really, you should just kill yourself. It was the best story. We did at Tim Newsbreak. Two of them. We did a penis watch, and then we did a Whitney watch. And the Whitney watch was from some sex shop owner in Atlanta who claims that Whitney buys her sex toys by the bagful. By the dozen or something?
By two or three of the same kind.
Oh, God. All right, let's do a couple calls here. Our good friend, Diana from downtown. How are you, Diana?
Well, I'm...
Well, Rick, you got that Lauren Bacall voice going on this morning. Well, Bogey.
Okay, my first question. So the picture I sent of you, Sarah trying to kiss Jen, that's not going to make the site?
Which...
Oh, no, I love that picture. No, I'm actually trying to post that on our MySpace page right
now. Oh, is that the one you showed me?
Yeah.
That's a really good picture.
Yeah, thank you, Diana.
Oh,
yeah.
My pleasure.
That's a good picture of Jen. It's a good picture of Sarah. You guys look great together. It's where you're kind of kissing her in the cheek. Yeah. No, it's good.
Okay, great, because I was worried you were saying that, you know, you had to scour the picture.
No. When we say, first of all, it's always men. It's always men about that, because there's a long and growing longer list of men who are like, you know, dude, the old lady will kill me if these photos get on the site. And so that's, you know, that's what we have to scour for. Now, that picture of Sarah and Jen is fantastic.
Great. I have two favorite moments from last night.
Okay.
The first one was a group moment where we called and left a voice message.
That was fantastic.
Was awesome.
That was a satisfying
God, that
moment.
That was so beautiful.
Yes.
That was payback time.
Yeah, yes. We'll talk more about that later.
Okay, and then my personal favorite moment was I was sitting with Aaron, my boyfriend. He's dressed in the priest cassock. I'm dressed as a naughty librarian. And this guy, in all seriousness, comes over and asks us if we're from the church if we're there to judge the Rick show.
Well, you should have. What did you do in response? Did you just, like, grope each other?
Well, yeah.
Fantastic, actually.
What?
No, that was a fantastic look that guy had. He had the full-on cassock for you. Yeah, just like a Catholic priest. And then, yeah, you were the librarian. You were quite a pair.
We had more fun than should be legal.
It really was. There's no way to quantify it all.
Nope. Right.
Diana, thank you. It is always a pleasure.
And one more thing.
Yes.
Bacon.
Oh, stop. Oh, we're done now. Thank you. Thank you. Goodbye. Yeah, so here's the thing. Oh, wait, hold on. Wait, no, it's passed. Okay. So the party started at 7 or shortly thereafter. The band had 27 songs, I think, as part of their set list. The band played till about 11:45. When did you leave last night, Sarah? When did you leave Sabalas?
I closed the bar down.
Which is when? 2:30?
Like after 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then did you go to the outer space place across the street?
Yes, for last-minute cocktails.
Where were you calling me from at 4:52 a.m.?
Over at my friend's house.
Because all I heard... Here's again, if you...
We're listening to the Beatles and drinking Coors Light at 4:30 in the morning. I don't know what I was doing.
Being classy.
It was my freedom, man. I haven't been able to stay up that late.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't go to work this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been fantastic.
Oh.
So I answered the phone this morning at 5 o'clock a.m., and I'm all, hello? Thinking, again, it's Nate calling to say that Sarah's dead. And I answer the phone, and Sarah's all... Hey, I call you. And in the background, it's a lot of like, woo, you know, just like random weird like animal noises and. And I'm like, hi Sarah. And what did you say? You're like, oh, I was gonna leave you a voicemail.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, the phone's right here next to the bed. And then of course, my wife, who's calling me, Sarah? Why is Sarah calling you at 5 a.m.? No reason, honey. Don't you worry about it.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Don't you just go back to bed, sweetheart. Don't you worry your pretty little head about nothing. Oh, all right.
We'd been apart for 5 hours.
Yes, Sarah and I couldn't bear another minute apart. Oh, anyway, so, all right, so I, like around 1 o'clock or 12:30, I was like, I was toast. I had to leave. And it was largely the shouting and the rocking, and then also the cigarette smoke didn't help. And,
the cigar smoke,
God, don't even make me think about it. I know I sound like a lightweight, but good God. And I didn't light mine. It's sitting in my office unlit. And so but it was that thing of like empty stomach. Here's what I realized, is that the last time I ate yesterday before the party was at 10 a.m. So I had like a late breakfast, early lunch, however you want to look at it. I ate at 10 a.m. and I didn't eat again until 1 a.m. So, I mean, that's like a good, what is it? That's like a good 14 hours, 15 hours.
Yes.
And, Anyway, I know breakfast is the most important meal of the day and all, but still 15 hours. So by 12:30 at night, I was about to pass out. And somebody's like, well, we should get nachos. And I'm like, well, I can't. I have to be out of here. That guy, I can't wait for the cigarette smoke. So we all went to that, what is that, cake and steak place? You know, I'm talking about the hot cake house. It's like a McLaughlin's, but the Aladdin.
On Powell.
On Powell.
Yeah.
So we all go there, and for some reason, bacon just seemed like the most fantastic idea. Bacon and like a huge glass of orange juice and a cheeseburger and fries. And I don't know why that seemed like a good idea, but it did. And then that was the thing where I got the huge chilled glass of orange juice, and I drained it in like 5 seconds, and then you just feel your body rebelling. That's when you start to feel the whole, and it's
no.
just sort of, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Bad move.
That's exactly what it is, where your body is starting to rebel, and you feel, it's like the whole, you just feel the whole San Andreas effect in your body, where your stomach, it's like I drained the entire big, sticky, sweet, cold glass of orange juice, and then some bacon. And you just feel your stomach welling up with like a... And it's like fighting its way back to the surface. It was terrible. It was a terrible, terrible idea. So that's that. Let's see. Sorry, I've lost my phone screening. Okay, here we go. Let's talk. We'll go to line... So we have somebody here who wants to be anonymous, who has juicy stuff, apparently, but will not give her name. So we'll talk to her in just a second. First up is... Note, I'm going to skip the first up, Chuck. Yeah, it's first up on line one. Chuck, hi, how are you?
That's a good one, Rick.
Yeah, thank you. How can I thank you, sir. How can I help you on this fine post-listener party
Sarah
Friday?
Sarah asked me to call. I met her in the sideshow lounge last night.
Sarah?
And I bought her a vodka. I want to apologize for that.
Yes, he bought me a fancy vodka drink. Thank you, Chuck.
I was the guy that didn't grope her.
What a sad state of affairs. That you have to identify yourself as the guy who didn't assault a member of the staff.
Yeah. But that was, that, you know, meeting Sarah was the highlight. I've got her and her roommate now with me. That's my screensaver now. I finally have something worth putting on the screensaver. And, but then I wanted to tell you, there was two girls that came from Detroit to go to the party.
What?
Yeah, and I've got pictures of them, these two girls. And this cute little blonde just comes out of nowhere and zeroes in on me and gives me a hug. She says, I'm from effing Detroit. And I said, well, that's my favorite part of Detroit. But she, I never got the story if they just happened to be in Portland and stumbled into the Sabalas or what.
Fantastic. There was, you know what I met two listeners yesterday, last night at the party, from Florida. And then Dan from New Zealand was there. Now, I don't think he came from New Zealand just for this, but still, Dan from New Zealand was here.
Well, we do cover Florida very well in the news, so.
Florida's our favorite state that's not Oregon, so.
We're their greatest source of news.
It really was incredible last night, the breadth of the people.
I was lucky enough to meet Tim, and halfway through our conversation, I realized I had a cigarette in my hand, so I snubbed it out. And I want to apologize for that, Tim.
It didn't matter at that point.
I mean, we're in a bar.
There are millions of people smoking around.
Seriously, we're in there surrounded, wallowing in toxins and shaving hours off our life with every minute we're in that place.
I do like the smell of cigarette smoke every once in a while.
Yeah. It's on your clothes and in your hair the next morning.
Yep.
Yeah. And Clyde, I think Clyde was one of the cigar smokers, so you had him to blame.
Oh, hold on.
I out-geek Aaron on Emerson knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah, I told him I'm a fifth generation listener. He's like, you must have been listening from when Rick was in Salt Lake. I'm like, no, he's been on like five different versions here now, right?
Yes, it is true. It is true.
Yeah.
You know, really, did you?
Yeah.
Fantastic. The last time I saw Aaron and Clyde last night. Did everybody see Aaron and Clyde singing karaoke?
No.
Oh, man.
Pictures, but I didn't see.
Oh, God. After the party was sort of, you know, the band was taking the stage, and I walked over to the sideshow lounge to get the, you know, just get to do some space and whatever, because that band, it was just hot and sweaty and great, but I had to get out for a second. So I go to the sideshow, and Aaron Geek in the City and Clyde Lewis are belting out karaoke, and they're singing, of course, Here I Go Again by Whitesnake. And the best part is all of the incidental noises that Aaron was creating to go with the song, because Clyde is doing a whole lot of, like, Here I Go Again on My Own, like belting it out. And as we get to the end of every line, Aaron Clyde would do the "Here I Go Again on My Own" line, and then Aaron would give it a little just like no reason, just giving these weird Michael Winslow sounds at the end of the song. So it was all genius. Well, Chuck, thank you for being there. Thank you for
a picture, and I got to send to you. It's an awesome picture.
Please,
I don't know if you remember it. I showed it to you on my camera.
Please send.
I gotta get to a wireless.
Send all that stuff to rick@rickemerson.com. There's nothing up yet, but by the end of the day, we'll have a few up. By the end of the weekend, we'll have a whole album.
When I get a chance to do that.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks again, Sarah. And Rick,
yeah,
should have to pay to work with somebody as nice as Sarah.
Aww. That's nice.
All right.
I consider myself one of her peeps now.
Okay.
Peace out.
All right. Thank you. There you go.
You
have a peep.
Cool. Not just Scotty J now. Ugh.
Sorry. I just feel like I've been beaten with hammers.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's take. Okay. Now we can't. This person wants to be anonymous. So this is someone with juice, with dirt, with sleaze. Hello there, anonymous caller.
Hey, baby.
Hi. How are you? So what do you have to report about last night's listener party at Zabala's?
I'm sorry, I don't have any horrible dirt. I do have to say to that adorable boy Josh in the green striped shirt, check your MySpace. Becky sent you a message. The other thing, Aaron asked me to call, and I figured since he's the founder of the Crusade, I needed to do his bidding. And after the last listener party, you said, "Oh, call in on Monday," and I hate to do that, so
right.
I didn't do it. And then 4 days later, you were gone, and I've cursed myself ever since.
It was your fault. You caused the show to be canceled.
No,
it's on your head.
No, damn it! I was going to do it today.
All right. God bless you.
My one complaint about the show, actually, there were two about the party. One, there weren't logo shirts. I went to flash my
logo shirts.
My ass logo.
Oh, yes, yes.
I went to flash my chest to the people handing out shirts, and it was girls, but they were just Johnson shirts, not kissing my ass shirts, so that kind of bummed me out.
But, I mean, let's just take a moment to pause. How great this is that your complaint centers around you going and showing your boobs to someone.
My other complaint, if we could work this into the next listener party,
uh-huh,
we'd have some boys kissing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I want your hot gay audience to represent for us.
Okay, I'll add it to the list.
Thank you.
It's all I could do to get two chicks to kiss last night. I mean,
cost us Twinkies. And that set us back.
Tim, I am loving. I'm having my Fresca with lunch.
All right.
I love you.
Oh, don't say Fresca and Twinkie.
I guess it tastes Fresca.
Oh, God, the thought of a Twinkie right now is just...
I ate the Twinkie before bed, so I have to drink my
Twinkie
Fresca.
A Twinkie before bed keeps the doctor away.
Okay. All right. Well,
thank you. Fantastic.
Anonymous, thank you so much. And if you are who I think you are, and
oh,
I think you are,
who I am.
I'm just saying, I'm not trying to identify, but Sarah, we can all agree that she looked beautiful last night.
She very much did.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being there.
See you again.
All right. There you go.
Bye.
All right.
Bye. You're halfway through it.
Almost. Now we got to take a break here. And I'll tell you what, two reasons. A.
You need a break.
A, I just need a break. B, because I'm looking at the call screening here. I think my face is swollen. I'm looking at the call screening here, and here, line one is, yeah, you know, you're looking at it.
Yeah.
There was this whole bag of placenta last night.
That was one of those things that, in theory, sounded like a great idea when I was telling him to bring it.
Because you don't really imagine that it's a bag full of, you know, stringy blood.
Mm. Oh, you don't need to.
Sorry.
Because the lunch hour is over.
All right, let's take a break now. Mm. We'll come back with Jim Roop and Jesse about the... I have to use the bathroom. We'll be back.
Oh.
It's the... It's the Rick Emerson Show. Ugh. I think my spine is bruised. We'll be back. We're right here live from Portland. It is Friday, the day following Listener Party 9. Right here on Johnson 970. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. Out. Screw her. She's dead to me. Oh, hi. 503-733-2970. Now, this is a bed. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at rickemerson.com. I'd like to thank Nate from the Altar Boys and and porn star John from Porn Star Janitor. Porn star John? Janitor John. Hi. I can barely hold my head up and open my mouth in the correct functionality today.
I'm sure he doesn't mind being called Porn Star John.
Whatever. He's in a band called Porn Star Janitor. Anyway, I'd like to thank them for recommending... I know this sounds sounds all hippie and whatnot, but I got this ginger root going on, which is actually of all the... For years, I have mistreated and abused my voice in all manner of whatever... and ginger is actually the first thing I've ever found that really works for this. So this is it's all from those guys. They recommended it. The only reason I'm even able to talk at this level today. It's 503-733-2970. I swear to God, here's what it says on the screen. Coming up later, line one, Jesse with placenta. And then we'll talk to Rob. And then I've got somebody. See, why would you do this? Some guy just sent me an email. And the email is just... And there's no label on it. It's not labeled. It's not warning or whatever. It's just seven pictures of placentas. And then this awesome party last night. By the way, the fat guy singing in the Rock God contest, he had his manhood hanging out of his underwear. I'm not sure if you noticed that or not. Now that's a party, says Rich. Well, we aim to please. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Los Angeles, the City of Angels, CNN radio correspondent to the stars. Jim Roop, how are you, sir?
I am well. How are you?
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. I was talking to Gary Baumgarten earlier, and...
Baumgarten.
Yes, he said the same thing. He's like, why don't you invite me to the party? I'm like, you're welcome. Brother, anytime, you're welcome to come. So there's, I don't know, many, 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 many days in the future when we do the next Rick Emerson listener party, whatever far distant date that is, we're going to make it our goal to gather all of y'all, to get all of our CNN peeps in the house, as they say.
It'd be a lot cheaper for me, that's for sure. So I can handle that. It's just Baumgarten.
Why don't just get you an Amtrak ticket?
Yeah, I can drive.
Just get you right. See, you would fit right in, my friend. You seem like a guy who would fit right in with our crowd, and I mean that in the best possible way.
Thank you.
The less said about that, the better, I guess.
I hear that you're a little tired, but you sound great.
Well, you know, the one thing, as I was noting earlier, the one thing about this voice is, having the big, gravelly, scrapey voice, you are sort of able to give that, hey, baby, you are son of it, that peaches and herb kind of Peebo Bryson sort of quiet storm.
Yeah, I guess.
KDAY delivery. So, all right. Now, I've lost the... I want to make sure that I get this correctly. Hold on. I've actually had the CNN prep sheet right here, but I am... The reason... I have a question about this. And again, as we've often noted, these things start elsewhere, and then they wave on their way into the other... They go as a wave from California through the rest of the country. Correct me if I'm wrong here. It says Californians for Clean Alternative Energy have a news conference this morning to denounce high gas prices and then demand something or other. Why is this just sort of like when there's nothing else to cover and it's like you're going to go cover some guys complaining about something that's never going to be changed?
Here's what these people did, and I read them the Riot Act for it too. We all know that gas prices, it's a big deal right now. It's what everybody's talking about. It's what everybody's covering. It's what everybody's ticked off about, especially in Southern California, where in Beverly Hills, gas is at $4.04 a gallon.
Mm.
Now, we get to this news conference, and it's nothing about gas prices. It's this coalition, this clean energy coalition, that is trying to push this initiative to assess an extractor's tax on oil companies that are taking oil out of the ground, and then they want to take that revenue from that tax. And they want to put it toward research and development of alternative fuels. Well, great. Tell us that. Don't make us come here under the guise we're doing gas price stuff, because that's what the network wants. So now I got to explain to them I'm not giving them what they sent me to get. So it's just a ploy to get us all to this place where they want to tell us.
I bet there wasn't any food there either.
Yeah, the craft services table was crap.
No, it was in the parking. It was in a gas station. It was at an Exxon Mobil station. And it was ridiculous.
And California does seem to be sort of a hotbed of these advocacy and activist groups that are just, it's like their whole purpose is just to annoy the rest of us, and you, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's job security for me. As much as I hate them, it's job security.
See, and the great thing about you is that I think you just have no compunction about telling these people, They're doing things badly or ineptly or in the wrong fashion or whatever. So you really are a true tell it like it is, man.
Well, I appreciate that.
All right. So you are based in L.A. So this is now what, April? So I don't know, sometime later on ahead in 06, as they say in the sales department, sometime in the second or third quarter of 06. Next time we have some event, we're going to coordinate something or other, and we're going to make sure that you can come on up here and be part of it, because we get people that ask about you. People are like, you got to bring that Jim Roop guy up. He sounds like he knows how to party.
They'll be very disappointed.
Dude, I got to tell you,
we'll be happy to.
I have to tell you this. It doesn't matter. You could come up and you could be riding a flaming horse carrying the sword of Damocles with you, and it doesn't matter, because there's. Can I just tell you this? Last night, we had two girls in schoolgirl outfits making out while another guy was on stage. I swear to God, holding a placenta in a biohazard bag.
They're not gonna pay attention to me at all.
That's what I'm saying. So it doesn't matter. You just need to be here and drink. That's really all it is.
All right.
Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Have a fantastic weekend, my friend.
Thank you. Recuperate well.
I will. Thank you, sir. There you go. All right. Ugh. Ugh. All right. Rick, please don't use my name. I love emails that start that way. Sadly, I didn't make it to the party last night. Cursed my sister and her trip to the emergency room that led to surgery a couple hours later. Yes, curse her.
It could have waited.
How often, though, have periods of unpleasantness followed a listener party? Your voice sounds okay, but can you tell it's recovering from last night? I can. I wonder if the idiots in control have only listened after a party and made poor decisions. Sounds like a good time. Much better than my night. It's from a guy whose name we won't use. Let me just say... Hold on.
Are you chewing gum?
No, it's a little ginger root.
Oh.
Let me just say this, though, that we did have on stage with us last night Carson. Now, you may remember Carson. We talked to him yesterday. Carson's grandfather had passed away, and Carson was supposed to be heading out of town to go to the funeral. His grandfather, P.H. And we talked to Carson. We said, look, if P.H. was alive, if he was here, if he could speak to you from beyond, if he could beam down a golden message to you from his place beside Jesus, he would tell you that life is for the living, that you have to take life and seize it with both hands. And he was there. So he was there last night. And I have to tell you, there was X hundred people. I mean, it was packed. We got to find out what the capacity of Sabala's is, because I know we were over capacity for most of the evening. So we'll say, 450, 500 people, something like that. Everybody holding up a glass, raising one gigantic toast to PH, who passed away, and to his grandson Carson, who was there with us. So that was a glorious moment last night. We got that on film. We had four different cameras filming the event. Video. Yes, and so there's a whole lot of editing still to come. We had four different, and I mean full on, cameras, the television cameras, filming the event. We had two street teamers with digital cameras and untold dozens of cell phones. And then we had the entire audio from the event all night going to a Pro Tools laptop. So there's going to be, you will be able to see many, many, many of these embarrassing moments in the future in glorious living color. So you just be waiting for that. I've got more of these to read, but have we gone to the city desk?
Right. We might as well.
Well, let's do that, and then we'll get these calls in just one second. So let's go to the city desk with Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon.
Thank you.
CBS presents the city desk.
Wait, do we have any smooth jazz that we can
smooth
use instead
jazz
of this?
Edition.
Instead of the CBS music, let's do like kind of a mellower sort of. Okay, thank you. Well, let's just take it from the top here, Tim.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Red State News Update. Oklahoma wheat farmers say this could be the worst crop in a long time. State Wheat Commissioner Mark Hodges said drought conditions make the outlook the worst he's seen in his 30 years of his agricultural career. Also, Dateline Akron.
Akron.
The list of newest inductees into the Akron Hall of Fame are...
Are you kidding me?
No, I am. This is Red State News.
Oh, sorry. Okay, go ahead.
From the breadbasket of America. Firestone, which helped turn Akron into the world's tire manufacturing capital, and Hoover, which makes vacuum cleaners in Akron.
I'm so
Congratulations.
Sorry for anybody who lives in Akron.
The Red State News. This is from Kansas. A high school career fair included an unlikely occupation, a methamphetamine dealer. Two inmates from the Lansing Correctional Facility told students they could expect to earn a prison salary of $29.40 monthly if arrested, live in a tiny cell, and bribe others for protection. Utah. Pleasant Grove City Council rejected on a 5-0 vote a resolution that would have endorsed the efforts of volunteers to get grocery stores to hide covers of magazines they consider salacious. Do we have one more here?
I think I fell asleep.
I'm sorry?
I think I really fell asleep. It's so soothing.
Repeating our tough stories. Expect high wheat prices as Oklahoma has a disastrous wheat harvest. And new inductees in the Akron Hall of Fame include the Hoover Vacuum Cleaner.
Thank you.
And Firestone Rubber Company.
Okay.
The tale's coming up. Enjoy the smooth jazz, just the way you like it.
Thank you. There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Hacha. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Well, we put this off long enough. Let's, oh, God. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Jesse. How you doing, Rick?
And Jesse, you are who?
The guy.
Say it.
The placenta guy.
There you go. Now, Sarah, you and I should talk about this because, you really nailed it when you said earlier that it's one thing to sort of intellectually think like, well, a guy's going to bring a placenta. But you don't really expect it to happen, or maybe it's like when you try to conjure up the image, it's like a file not found kind of a thing. And so we're there because we had this whole discussion of placenta because of Tom freaking Cruise, who is where all bad things come from. And so you had called, you're like, I have a placenta, I'll bring it in, it's been in my freezer for a year.
Not a year, 5 months.
Okay. And so,
wow, your girlfriend looks really good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Did you see his girlfriend?
I don't know. That's not
beautiful.
That's not Bobby, is it?
No, it's striped
shirt. My girlfriend's Jessica's boob job, the MySpace thing.
Is that your girlfriend?
That's my girlfriend.
Oh my God.
No, she is
score, dude.
Really good. I know, that's why I looked at her. I'm like,
telling me.
Lucky.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, okay. Whatever you're doing, don't lose your job. Don't change colognes. You've done something you've lucked into something, my friend. Let's call it what it is. Not that you're not a decent man at all, but come on.
Yeah.
You know what it is? Can I just say that? It's like the first time we all met Scott Daly's wife. And not that Scott Daly isn't a charming and handsome man, but Sarah's first words when we met Scott Daly's wife, very first words, Sarah's like, look at you. Don't lose that job at the bank. So, okay, well, yeah, she's gorgeous. And, you know, it's funny. See, now I feel a little awkward about it. I have actually written down on my list of subjects to talk about next week. Right here, Sarah, you can see it. Jessica's boob job.
There it is.
I'm really going to do
Wait, what's it next to?
Well, that's separate. This is, I have two separate MySpace topics. One of them is Jessica's boob job, because I'm going to do a whole thing about her because...
No, you forwarded hers to me.
Yeah, and another one is MySpace whores, but that's not her. No, MySpace whores are those girls that, like, you don't know. It's like some girl in
like
San Diego.
Cindy.
And it's just some whore that wants to have 20,000 friends and wants you to stare at her. And she's like, she doesn't even know. You're just like in some other state. No, but Jessica's boob job is this girl who you are apparently putting it to. One of my MySpace friends, just the hottest photo ever. And correct me if I'm wrong here, and I'm staking this right now, you FM music radio bastards, that she has put up some website in Portland where she's trying to raise money for a boob job, right?
Yes, the website is almost finished.
Okay, it's fantastic. So we'll talk about that next week. So that's your guarantees. Anyway, so can I ask this question? Was it her? Was she the one who was pregnant?
No, I was pregnant. No, yeah, she was the one.
But I mean, the placenta, how do I put, okay, well, I guess I have to just ask it. So when the placenta was inside her?
Yeah.
What kind of a question is that?
I'm trying to figure out.
It doesn't grow on the outside.
I didn't know if it was like a baby mama somewhere that I didn't know about or whatever.
Oh, no.
I don't know which kind of life you...
Yeah, he's a placenta harvester.
I don't... I cannot believe
that should be the
that's
name the of
the worst
band.
Phrase I've ever heard in my life. He's a placenta harvester. I'm a Michael Bolton fan. Okay, goddamn. Let's.
This has turned into the Discovery Channel.
Okay, yes, I saw Jesse last night. I recognized him immediately. I'm like, oh god. And I saw his girlfriend turn around, little backpack, looks packed full of something. I'm like, oh no.
And so, first of all, it comes out in layers. First of all, it's a Winco bag.
No, first of all, it was a paper bag.
Paper bag.
Yeah, but what paper Winco bag?
And yeah, that a Winco bag, of course. And then inside that is, yes, a biohazard bag with the big, but like this will kill you symbol.
Bright red.
And then, so we're unpacking this all on stage to the unending horror, by the way, of the CBS marketing department. They're like 10 feet away. Poor Susan Reynolds, who's wondering, like, how she's going to market this to the advertisers. Here's the great party. Now, look, he had a placenta, but it's not what it sounds like. I bring out the placenta, and I'm poking at it with my finger, and it's all hard. And that's, I think it's because it's frozen, and then somebody knows that it's inside Tupperware. So then I bring out the bag inside the, and it's just
seeping.
A big seeping crimson bag full of goo.
Which is why I'm calling, because when I got it back from you, because I didn't want some janitor to find it.
Oh, yeah, and then we left,
you
we forgot.
Really put it back in the bag. We kind of shoved it all in the brown paper bag, which I started toting around the place until it started kind of dripping. And I had to carry that thing around, and I carried it to the bathroom. And that's where Sarah's boyfriend Nate was there. And nobody believed that it was really a placenta. One guy said, "Oh, that's not a placenta. That's got to be like cat parts. Like that's any more normal than having a placenta."
Well, where would you have gotten
skin cat?
Seriously, and it would be more disturbing had you found and brought cat parts with you.
That's a normal restroom conversation.
But yeah, so then I pulled it out of the Tupperware and held it up by the umbilical and.
Oh!
Everybody.
Oh, your boyfriend.
Nate must have been really drunk because he didn't tell me about this.
And there was a guy that worked at the balls that was in there, and he's like, "You're gonna clean that up, right?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna put it all back in and wipe it."
Young man, you will clean up every bit of that placenta. God damn. Was it true? Now, listen, somebody emailed me just now. Somebody said that you were at... I can't believe this is true, but you know what? We've passed the threshold of unbelievably galadibi so long ago. Is it true that at one point in the evening, I cannot believe my eyes, that you were dancing with the placenta?
Well, I couldn't really set it down anymore. So I was,
Of course, you want to be lonely.
Well, I had a beer in one hand, and then any other, any time something great happened and you wanted to put your fist up in the air and scream, well, the only available fist was the one with the placenta in it, so.
The show keeps getting better.
I didn't want to spill my beer.
Of the two things to spill, you don't want it to be the beer. Let it be the placenta. Let it be the thing in the biohazard bag.
Yeah. And on the way out, to kind of cap everything off wonderfully, this guy's like, "Hey, placenta guy." And I turn around, I'm like, "Yeah?" And he says, "Hey, if you ever need any good information," he pulls out a Sharpie, and the only paper we had, he wrote his phone number on the placenta bag.
So now you can't get rid of it.
No, I can't get save it.
All right. Well, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Yeah. Well, if you ever need another placenta, it's back in my fridge, though.
Thank you. Does it... Any word on how long it keeps? I mean, it doesn't get freezer burn or something, does it? Is all the food in your freezer going to taste like placenta now?
No, we have the,
You have the Arm and Hammer?
We got the bacon.
All right. Thank you, Jesse.
Thanks, Rick.
There you go. All right. His girlfriend's hot, by the way.
She was, like, drop-dead gorgeous.
Now, I don't think... Such a blur.
Like, she was pregnant.
No. Now, listen to me. I'm just saying, I know her from MySpace because she was one of the first people to join my account or one of my first friends or whatever. And because it's like, they're... Because I've been, for so long, I've had her down as like this thing we have to talk. We have to have her on the show one of these days to talk about this. But what I'm saying is I'm unclear about whether, I met her last night. I can't remember, and I don't mean that as any offense. If I did, I'm sure you were charming. I'm sure I was more so. I can't remember if I met her last night. I must have talked to her last night, but it's all...
would remember her. She had a striped shirt and like a white beaded necklace.
Maybe. The list of things that I should remember from last night that I don't. We'll get some more calls here in a second. Do we have to take a 50 here in a minute?
Oh, probably.
Okay, so we'll take a couple more and then we'll break. Rick, This email says, this is from Rob. Rick, on one of my many trips to the men's room last night, there was a guy leaning against the wall waiting to enter the stall, which was in use. He claimed he was waiting there because he had to vomit. Well, when the stall door definitely opened, the priest walked out and said, "You may enter, my son. I have blessed the stall." The fact that this guy was capable of controlling himself to that extent just shows how professional the Emerson fans are. My head hurts. Rob. P.S. I can't get the vision of Sarah holding placenta from my mind. I'm considering removing my eyes with ice picks. That's from Rob. Okay. Just looking at these emails, I just... Rick... this one is just describing. This is what a guy just sent me pictures of bacon. No, thank you. Let's see. This is from Kyle, the former intern. Hey, just wondering if you know when Sabalo's opens. My roommate left my credit card open and on the tab. By the way, you guys looked great. My head hurts. Let's see. What
opens
else?
At 4.
Let's see. Okay, I should read more of these, but later. Let's get these calls, then we will take a break here. Let's see. Rob, hi. Is this Rob in the House of Rick?
Yeah.
Hi. Yeah. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm deaf in my left ear. And I think everything went fine. I remember the band closing out. Got to give it up to the band.
Man, Emerson, Starship, how fantastic were those guys last night?
Amazing. Did you see the guy spinning around on the floor in the stick?
Was this the guy with no shirt?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a guy, a fleshy man.
Oh, I remember that. Didn't he get... kicked out because he had to go put a shirt on or something?
There was a fleshy man, you know, we talked about him in Bigger Than Jesus, the air guitaring sweat sprayer was what we dubbed that guy. But he was there, one of those guys was there last night, big fleshy man, acres of pink flab, no shirt, whirling around like a big dervish, spraying everyone with his fluids, and then at some point, he became covered in vomit. Now, I'm unclear about whether it was his own vomit or someone else's.
Doesn't matter.
I guess it doesn't. I guess you can't really dust for vomit. I guess there's really no point. So then he became a fleshy, shirtless, sweaty man covered in vomit. And somebody told me that Jesse Cunningham, who was one of the singers for the band, he sang all the Priest songs. He sang 18. He sang Surrender. He told me that, like, during his part of the band's set, he had to push the drunken vomit guy off of him, like, 5 or 6 times because the guy kept trying to, like, lean up against him.
Oh, that's good times. And yeah. I hope CBS noticed and recognizes the power of the Emerson Army and fans.
And just really the alcohol consumption and spending power of said Emerson Army.
Oh, did we drink it all?
I don't know. In fact, why don't we find out? Let's go to the phones. Chris, the beer guy, how are you, sir?
Oh, a little better than I was this morning.
All right. Oh, did we lose Rob? Okay, hold on a second. Rob, you were supposed to stay there and find out the answer to your question. Chris, the beer guy, now you've been with us through a lot of these things.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the word, Chris, the beer guy, on last night?
Okay, I talked to Jason Sabala, and we ran through 63 cases of my product and 7 cases of other product.
That's fantastic.
This is just beer, and I've got it broken down into servings, ounces, and gallons if you want it.
60 cases of beer?
And that's just 63 cases just of... I mean, that's
my product.
Now, we can say what that is, can't we?
We did 50-plus cases of Pabst.
Oh,
wow.
Dude.
I saw a lot of tall boys.
70 cases total?
70 cases total of just beer. That's not counting hard liquor, mixers, non-alcoholic.
God damn.
Like
can we break that down by gallons?
I've got it broke down by gallons. That's 165.75 gallons of beer consumed last night.
I'm going to just round up 166 gallons of beer on the wall. That is fantastic. That really, really just doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, I've got to send them a huge order today to get them through the weekend.
Oh, my God.
We drank them out of just beer just about.
70 cases of beer. I mean, it's really right there. I'll tell you this. 70 cases of beer, they're not going to fire us this month. We've held off another firing for at least 30 days or so. Oh, my God. I mean, well, no wonder everybody's calling in sick and vomiting and wheeling around and waking up in strange places today. Well, Chris, thank you as always for all of your help and for being one of our hookups and one of our contacts out there, my friend.
Hey, no problem. Just I'm there for the next one.
Yeah, it was nice to finally meet you last night, Chris.
All right,
it was.
Thank you, Chris, and we will talk to you soon, my brother. And 70 cases, that's going to go in the record books.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, thanks, Rick.
All right, there you go, Chris the beer guy, 70 cases. Oh, my God, is this really what's on line two? Scott is typing back, yep. Sarah, read this description of line two.
What?
I don't...
I keep this guy holding on the line.
Okay, let's not.
No.
This is really on the line.
That sounds like someone who's still drunk from last night thinking that's funny.
I don't know whether you can feed a placenta to your pet owl or not, Bob.
After 22 years?
You know...
Let's move forward.
I'll tell you what. Hey... Bob, we'll handle that another time. Bob, Scotty J, if I don't wish to be rude, but why don't we deal with that call another time?
That would be too far off topic.
Yes.
As the consultants say.
Yes, let's move forward, as they say in my Franklin planner. All right, Cheryl, let's take a break here. Take a break. We'll come back next hour, in the 2 o'clock hour. Hey, listen to that. It's like it was meant to be. We come back, we'll talk more about Listener Party 9, which happened last night. Like us at 3, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You stay right there, ladies and gentlemen. Johnson, 970. Holy diver, you've been down too long in the midnight sun.